Right. And so I didn't know at the time, and my customer certainly didn't know, how to be a good email citizen in such a way that more email actually hit the inbox so that you get the maximum open rate, the maximum click rate, and thus the maximum return. And we knew, even from, you know, in hindsight, the fraction of results we were getting, that email was not even close to anything else in terms of being so amazing on ROI. So even with getting a fraction of the deliverability that we needed to, it was still blowing away every other channel in terms of what it delivered for us in terms of conversion, revenue, relationship building, all of those things. The issue was there was technical problems about how the email got there, and then there was an educational problem for how we managed our list, for keeping it clean and optimizing our sender reputation and the ability for email to hit the inbox. So I went on this basically long, winding road of figuring out what are all the rules of email, because a lot of them actually, turns out, are pretty counterintuitive. They're not exactly what it says on the tin. And so we started building a system from scratch that we could actually control that would make a lot more of that success more automatic, even if you didn't know what the rules were. So for example, most people, as they start to scale up, start to learn that list hygiene is a very important piece. And I don't just mean removing the unsubscribes, that is important, but I mean checking your list, using a cleaner to remove undeliverable email addresses, spam traps, bot addresses, disposable emails, role accounts, right? There's so many potential hazards living in your list right now if you don't do hygiene that it's a problem. And then if you want to fix that, the way you fix that is kind of complicated, right? If you have a standard ESP, you have to go either export your list, run it through a cleaner, try to re-import and make sure you get the tagging right and get rid of the right ones and keep the right ones and don't screw up which emails are going to who and don't restart a campaign, right? So there's human error. Or you have to, you know, do an integration or hook up Zapier or do some other thing, and it becomes this big problematic thing. And if it's problematic and hard, you don't do it. So with our email system, we said, okay, let's just make that automatic, high quality, and requires zero thought. So when you import a list or a lead gets added through any mechanism possible into a Campaign Refinery account, we automatically check before the first email is ever sent if it's a undeliverable, spam trap, disposable, bot account, role account, etc., so that you're protected by default. And we will recheck anyone who passes that cleaner and is still subscribed down the road so that you know every time you click send, that list has been sparkling clean through a good service that you did not have to think about. Right, so that's like one example. And then we said, okay, now that we've learned more about what it takes to hit the inbox and how to be a good sender, how do we give ourselves and our customers tools that will maximize deliverability in other ways? And so what we learned is engagement is key. And this shouldn't be shocking, right? Because we all went through this with Facebook, and we've gone through it with, you know, insert social media platform here, YouTube, whatever, that engagement tends to be the currency. And so when you realize that Gmail and Yahoo and Microsoft are basically having to weed whack through billions and billions and billions and billions of emails every day, and that most of them are junk, engagement tends to be one of those metrics that they use to decide if your email goes to the inbox, the promo tab, or God forbid, the spam folder. And so we've built some tools that help you not only say, okay, I want to send email to people who have already opened in the last 30 days or so, but we actually also built tools to encourage engagement, right? So just like how we talked about in contests, the core concept back in contest domination was, let's tie the incentive to actually getting the referral, because that was what was important in that scenario. In email, the important piece is getting them to engage. And so taking some of that contest theory and gamification and whatnot in the back of our minds and saying, how can we apply this to email? We actually built what I believe is basically the first of its kind, email engagement gamification. So what it is you can actually give your subscribers points when they open, when they click, and soon when they reply to your emails. Three things that Google loves and will reward you for in spades in terms of where your email lands. And you can automatically set up rewards. So if someone hits, you know, 100 points or 500 points or 1,000 points or whatever, you can use the cool automation tools to automatically deliver those rewards. And what you're doing is you're training your list to engage with you as a sender in a way that is unlike any of your competitors. And when you do that, you get treated unlike any of your competitors with much, much better placement. And so that sort of philosophy between hygiene and automation and gamification has what led us to consistently deliver like almost unbelievable results for customers, because like our average customer doubles the open and click rate of their email list compared to the email platform they're on right now, simply by plugging and playing in our off the shelf tools without having to stitch together this, you know, scaffolding of craziness, something that looks like, you know, the back alley at Hogwarts or something, right? So, something much more interesting and easy to use.
And how did this process come about for you? What was the what was the pain point for you where you thought, no, we need to do this and need to make it available as quickly as we can?
So I was deep into Infusionsoft and it was consistently having errors where it wasn't doing what it was designed to do, even though it was set up correctly because I paid their team to do it at an Infusionsoft sanctioned event that had Infusionsoft employees that I paid like $10,000 at an event to make happen. And more than 50% of the time, it would erratically fail.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
And when I would go to support, and they basically, the most support I could get was, here's a link to our developer forums. Good luck.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is crazy. And this doesn't work. And this doesn't work. And my open rate's garbage. And it's going down. I don't know why. And or I'd wait too long to send. I'd go to send again. And they'd slap you on the hand and throttle you and hold you back and say, oh, you can't do that or whatever. And it's like, well, then how do I become a good emailer? Show me the way. I'm happy to follow the rules. I just don't know what the rules are.
Yeah.
Right. And your system doesn't necessarily put me through a process that allows me to be a good sender. And so when that was the core issue at first, I said, okay, let's see if we can build something for ourselves first. And let's see if we can solve this issue. And for, in our case, it more than 4x'd the email results that we had, the opens and clicks. We have some customers, we have as much as 25x'd. So wow. We know the process works. But that was what really kicked us, you know, down that road. And it took years before I was like, okay, this is good enough now to replace the spider web that was our Infusionsoft, you know, installation at the time. And that's when we could start to offer it to clients. And then we've been just continually and religiously iterating based on feedback from other people. Because it's one thing to build something for yourself. It's a whole different animal to build a tool that anyone else can come use, because they're going to use it differently than you ever expected. You know, it's like letting someone else use your car. They're going to grab the wrong handle, turn the wrong knob, and they're going to find out, you know, how to make the check engine light come on.
Yeah, always happens, especially with my friends. And never let them behind the wheel of a car. Even you know, even their own car, you don't really want them behind the wheel of that one either. but in terms of, you know, your process now moving forward, you've got the two businesses, you're running them side by side. How do you find that? Does that take up all of your time, Travis, or how do you spend your time?
Yeah, so, I mean, thankfully, once we got Contest Domination to a good place, that business pretty much is just, you know, it's in drive, it's moving forward, but it does not take a significant portion of my time. It probably deserves more of my time, but it doesn't get it. if we're being completely honest, it's been very good to me over the years. But Contest sort of hit a ceiling in some ways, and the market in general at this point is kind of a race to the bottom. So I'm not super excited about, you know, pouring millions of dollars into, you know, a Contest, like maybe the next evolution that it could really, you know, maybe benefit from, because it's diminishing returns. It does a great job. It still continues to pump out leads for people at a consistent basis. It still does all of the things that the original promise was. There's always improvements you can continually do to software, but in general, I think it's at a pretty mature place where it can hang out for a while. Campaign Refinery is a whole different beast. Email is a constantly moving target. There's always new ways that the algorithms are handling, and all the different ISPs do it differently, right? So Google is always changing how they're doing way more frequently on email than even they do on SEO updates. If you're plugged into the marketing world, I'm sure I feel like SEO stuff is more visible to marketers. They sort of feel that reaction, that guttural reaction in the overall community. I don't think that as many people feel the ripples as email changes, because you have to be usually pretty big to even notice. The smaller email marketers are honestly not very problem aware, which is kind of a challenge. So, you know, that is what it is. But email is just like this constant moving landscape. And so because of that, it requires more attention and more oversight to keep up with what's changing. But it's a fun challenge in my eyes. And, you know, some of our emailers that we pull on are pretty significant. I mean, some of the emails, you know, we don't send all of the traffic for them, but some of them as an organization send 1 billion emails a month. Wow. Right? And we have multiple that are sending hundreds of millions of emails a month. You know, and we bite off a piece of that traffic. We don't have 100% of that with each one of those clients, but we have a meaningful amount. And so when you talk about sending at that level, at that volume, it's really kind of a beast. Now, you know, we do have a lot of people that were basically, you know, Travis in 2011, right? That have hundreds or maybe, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 subscribers. And I find joy in helping those people too. But it's trying to systemize things, educate people on how email is different. There's just a lot that goes into that front. And there's a lot of meat left on that bone for us to kind of drill down on and help people get the most out of. So that's where most of my time goes.
And do you like the fact that it's changing constantly, or is that a complete kind of, you know, is that a frustration? I was going to say something else, but is it a frustration?
It has its moments both ways. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the challenge. Other times it's frustrating because you refine a system and a process that you know is repeatable. And then sometimes you wake up the next day and maybe that's not as repeatable as it used to be. And so that is frustrating. But, you know, if this was easy, everyone would build an email platform. If I had, you know, I knew it would be challenging. I knew it would be expensive. I underestimated both by at least 10x.
Right.
And so, you know, if anyone's like, oh, I want to go into email, it's not anti-competitive thing at all. It's like the market has changed. There's a lot of good platforms. Campaign Refiner is one of them. There's quite a few other quality ones in different ways. Go pick one. It's much cheaper, much easier to partake in another email platform. But yeah, it's definitely a fun challenge, you know, and it helps us stay relevant too, because when we solve those problems, our customers really appreciate that. And that's the kind of relationship that you earn for life, right? Like if you're the person that every time the rules change and you can keep your customer winning, they're usually thrilled to be your customer forever. And it's just been a fun business challenge in the sense of not just like the deliverability aspect, which is the moving target, but that the type of customer that buys Campaign Refinery is often a very different type of customer than who bought Contest Domination. Mm-hmm. Because Contest Domination is, you know, usually like the bulk of that market is kind of opportunity seekers or hobbyists, right? And so the kind of buyer and the needs and the and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but the sophistication level of the buyer that purchases Contest Domination tends to be a lot greener, right? A lot more novice. Yeah. Whereas the type of buyer that comes to Campaign Refinery tends to be at least moderately experienced, if not near expert level on email. And they have much different demands, but there's a way different upside to that too, right? Because you can imagine someone sending hundreds of millions or 1 billion emails a month is a very different opportunity than someone who wants to run a single contest.
How do you reconcile those two things though yourself? You know, because obviously, as you say, it is two totally different audiences in many ways.
You know, I try to appreciate each for what they are. Yeah, there doesn't necessarily need to be a huge overlap or whatever. And sometimes it's nice to switch gears in my brain too. The same way that working at your desk for 8 hours, you know, getting up and going for just a walk around the block can be refreshing. Sometimes just changing the problem set that you're working on for a minute not only feels good, then when you come back to the harder problem or just the different problem, you're able to look at it through a fresh lens.
Sounds good. I mean, you obviously enjoy the process, Travis. Is anything else you're working on, or are these businesses the two core businesses right now that you want to carry on moving forward with?
These are definitely the core businesses. And, you know, I hope I was fairly clear, like most of my energy goes into Campaign Refinery.
Yes.
Because it's a really hard problem to solve for email, and it's not going to get any easier. Yeah. It's actually going to get harder.
Has it got harder for you in recent months? Because, of course, I know Apple have made a whole load of changes. You mentioned Google before. It seems that the two dominant players seem to be wanting to squeeze email right now, which I guess is good for the end consumer in some ways, but it could also make your life a little bit harder.
It can. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. So I basically develop, you know, a thesis on a marketing problem, and then I go and try to test it. And the interesting thing about the Apple thing specifically, what you're referring to, for those who aren't aware, it's called Mail Privacy Protection. It came out as part of iOS 15, iPad OS 15, and Mac OS. And basically, if people open up Apple Mail, and if they opt into what's called Mail Privacy Protection, what the system does is it will basically cache emails on your local device when the device is plugged in on Wi-Fi. So what that looks like to the email provider is you get an open rate one time. That's when the device is plugged in on Wi-Fi, and not actually when a user opens it or if they ever open it. But it does tell you that it hit the inbox, at least, as opposed to the spam, because they don't do that to spam. And I have a differing philosophy than a lot of my competitors in the space when it comes to that, because, you know, my initial knee-jerk reaction was similar to theirs, which is, this is the open rate apocalypse, right? Opens are dead. They're useless. Now what? But the reality is, in my opinion, starkly different than that. And really, that opens are still useful. They're just a rough measuring stick, more rough than they had been before, because they've never been perfect. But now it's more of a, how does it compare to yesterday and how does it compare to tomorrow? And it's still a useful data point to get rid of people that aren't opening, if they aren't opening and clicking. Because the guidelines from all the major ISPs basically say, please send to people who have recently engaged. They're like basically begging you as senders and in their text, plain as day, please send to people who have recently engaged. And so it's a little funny that Apple actually makes it hard to tell who's actually engaged or not, but that's a whole different hour-long talk for a different day. But yeah, I mean, there's an ever-evolving thing, and there is sort of a war on email to a certain extent. I think at a certain point, it'll probably pull back a little bit, but even if it doesn't, that's okay, because what it's going to mean is it's going to mean a couple things. One is, real relationships are going to matter even more than they've mattered in the past. So the concept of like a generic, abstract, quote-unquote email brand sending out a bunch of generic, low-quality, high-volume offers and content, that's not going to fly. That's not, like, it's already been tough. In the future, that's not going to fly. Because even if they removed pretty much all of the analytics from email, which getting rid of the click is tough, not impossible, but tough. Even if they got rid of all of that, if you write compelling creative and you actually, you know, write things that make people care about you as a sender, you're going to win, and email will continue to be an amazing ROI, even if you could never tell your numbers. Because if you can build a relationship and send content and you know that they get it, even if you can't read who got it and who didn't, that's going to be the most powerful asset a business can have outside of their own website. And when, you know, because a website and an email list are the only two assets you really own. Everything else is rented land.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And I knew that all the way back in 2011, which is why I wanted to build that email list, right? Because I knew your website and your email list in 2011 were the only assets, digital assets you had. And the same is true in 2020, 2022, 2030. Like, I don't see that changing significantly. Your customer list, which right now is basically email, maybe SMS, and your website, that's kind of all you have. And so focusing on, how do I make it compelling? How do I add value? How do I build rapport? Even if my analytics don't reflect the engagement level, if you're being compelling, you're going to convince people to buy, and you're going to get conversations and interactions and transactions as a result of that. Period. That's been the story since the beginning of humanity talking to each other. So it's not going to change in the future.
Great. Well, Travis, it's an absolute pleasure to go through this with you. Anybody that's interested in Campaign Refinery, I'm going to guess campaignrefinery.com.
Yep, you nailed it. And we actually have a PDF there as well, which is called the Inbox Formula. So for those people that are struggling or frustrated and tired of landing in spam or the promo tab or whatever, we have our best practices guide. And there's a couple little weird tricks in there that you would never expect in a million years make a difference on deliverability. but they absolutely do. So check it out. It's a free PDF and should help people take that first step towards being a better email citizen like I was trying to do so many years ago.
Great. There's a little tease, if ever there was one. And if anybody wants to find out more about you personally, Travis, what's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, they can shoot me an email if they want, you know, travis@campaignrefinery.com. But I'm on, you know, pretty much all the social platforms that you can imagine. Twitter is actually a fun place for me personally. So @TravisKetchum is a good way if you have a quick deliverability question, or you know, you want to know the best place to get fish and chips on Orcas Island, or, you know, it could be as weird as you want it to be. I'll do my best to get you an answer.
Excellent. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure.